Welcome to another episode of the PFF College Football Show. I'm Max Shattuck alongside my co-host Dalton Wassman and a very, very special guest on right now. We got a national championship winning, Bear Bryant Award winning North Carolina head coach Mack Brown joining us. Mack, thanks so much for joining us, coach.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on. We appreciate what you guys do for college football.
Oh, thank you so much, Coach. I appreciate what you guys do for college football, honestly. And obviously, you got, you know, a really superstar quarterback in this NFL draft in just a couple months in Drake May, who's going to be one of the top picks in the NFL draft, and deservedly so. I wanted to ask you, what do you think separates Drake in terms of like the cerebral side, the X's and O's side as a quarterback?
He was raised in an athletic family. His dad was an all-ACC quarterback, led the ACC in passing. He raised him. He was in all the camps as a young guy. He's the youngest of a group of guys that are all very competitive in sports across the country. Two of his brothers have won national championships. So he said he had to fight to get a chicken wing when he was young because his family was just that competitive. And you watch him in our building. He competes to win the ping pong match. And you see him on the basketball court, he's the same way. So I think that he's passionate about the game. He loves the game. He grew up loving the game. He wants to know every little thing about it. I do think it was a help that Sam Howell was here before him. And he and Sam just love watching video together. But he loves football, and he loves to compete.
Coach, scouts and fans and media and everybody alike like always to make the comparisons, right, with prospects and either current or past NFL players. We've heard with Drake about Justin Herbert or Ben Roethlisberger or a ton of other comps. Is there somebody past or present that you think Drake compares to really favorably, whether it be his attributes or his mentality or anything like that?
Guys, I would think I would have to talk about guys that I've been around and coached. And I would think probably Colt McCoy. Colt, I think he completed like 71% when he was at Texas in games. He had the best completion percentage of any at that time. He won the most games in college football at that time, 45. He was so competitive. He was very accurate. He was very smart, but he could run and made a lot more plays with his feet than people thought he could. So at the same stage, Drake's much taller than Colt, which would be a huge difference in the draft. But they're both really athletic. They're both smart. They're both accurate. They both are guys who can win and lead. And I would think there are a lot of similarities there.
Coach, you've had some legendary quarterbacks in your time as a head coach. You mentioned Colt McCoy, Vince Young, I mean, Sam Howell recently, of course, now Drake May. Is there kind of like a similarity between all those guys that you kind of gravitate towards, or do you kind of just let them, you know, be who they are and shine in their own way?
Well, I think there are similarities. You go with, you start looking at Chris Sims, you start looking at Major Applewhite. They're just a lot of guys. When I was here before, Chris Keldorf, Jason Stanisak, and Coach Royal used to have a little saying about some people have it. And when you walk in a room, if you've got it, everybody stands and turns and looks at you, and it's like, ooh, there he is. And all of these guys have that presence with the team. They work the hardest. They made the guys follow them. I used to laugh at some of the guys. I'd say, you're not a party guy. And he said, no, but I go to the parties, and I make them leave when they leave. I don't drink. I don't get in any trouble, but I got to be there. And I got to be part of the group to go. And all of these guys pretty much had that same personality trait.
Coach, I'm going to move to what is a loaded wide receiver draft class. One of your guys who went through a lot of adversity this season, Tez Walker. He's been looked at a lot in this draft season. What is it about Tez? Is it his talent? Is it his personality? What is it about him that makes him a big-time NFL prospect?
Well, he's got a great heart, and he's very, very competitive again, or he wouldn't have fought through all the adversity that he had. Here's a guy that signs with East Tennessee State and hurts his knee. And then they wanted to grayshirt him, so he goes to North Carolina Central. They got COVID. They're not going to play. Then he goes to Kent State. Then he plays twice. Then he comes here, and is ineligible after we all thought he would be eligible without question. So he's tough. He's quiet. He's very humble. But he'll fight you. And the two things that he has is he's got length and he's got speed. And those are things that everybody in the NFL, like us, are looking for. And if he had come back, he would have been one of the best in the country for us. So we feel like he's got a great chance to be a super player at the next level. And because he only played 2 years at Kent State and 8 games here, it's all ahead of him. He is like a rookie because his upside is so high. We talk about Drake's only played 2 years in college football. His upside is so high. Same with Tez. Tez is just learning what to do, and I'm really excited to watch him moving forward. He's back here on campus now working out. He and Drake were throwing earlier today, so it's fun to see what's going to happen for the next chapter for those guys.
That's great stuff, and it's always fun to project kind of, you know, what guys can be moving forward as opposed to what they are right now. Another guy a lot of people are projecting, I've seen some scouts talk about, Cedric Gray might be the best linebacker in this draft. It's kind of a competitive thing at the top of the linebacker class right now. Where does Cedric Gray stand to you, you know, coming into this draft, and is he somebody that you think could be the best linebacker this year?
Yeah, guys, Cedric's another wonderful story. He was not highly recruited. We were his first offer. I don't think he ever had a Power 5 offer. He was a safety and a slot receiver at 211 pounds, and now he's 233 and can run 4.6 and loves to play. True captain for us at a time where there's selfishness all over the country. He actually turned down being a high draft pick last year to come back. And I asked him why, because it's unusual for someone to do that. And he said, I want to graduate. I want to have a better team when I leave. I've got some goals here that I want to finish, all of which were very unselfish. He's got great hands because he was a wide receiver. He can see the field because he was a defensive back. He just happens to be a free safety that gained to 233 pounds and can still run the same speed. So that's what makes him so good.
Coach, another last draft prospect we want to talk about right now is Miles Murphy, who we feel like is getting really slept on in this draft process right now. What do you think he will bring to the NFL team that ends up taking him in the draft?
Miles is—he got hurt a couple of times with a sprained ankle or a few things that set him back. But he's so big, he's so athletic, and he's powerful. And when you see him playing well, he plays as well as anybody in the country. And that's what I'm like you guys. I think people are sleeping on him, and he's going to really surprise somebody, and he's going to make somebody a great get.
Coach, and one guy who's not getting slept on right now, or he shouldn't be, turning ahead to next year, is Kamon Rucker, who's one of the best defensive players probably in college football right now. What can you say about him as the leader of your defense for next year?
Well, Seth Gray and Kamon Rucker, two of the best players on our defense, probably the two best. And neither one of them were offered a Power 5 scholarship. It's really interesting. So they came in with a chip on their shoulder. They came in mad at the world. They're both really smart. Kamon was a National Honor Society student, and I was actually watching him in a camp, and everybody said he was too little, and we took all these big, pretty offensive linemen, and he ran over every one of them and cost all of them scholarships. And I said, "Who is he?" And they said, "That's Kamon Rucker." And I said, "Well, offer him," and I went over and offered him. Out of shorts, because I hadn't even seen him, and he's been such a great player for us, and even a better person. He's a captain. He's tough as nails. He plays every minute of every day, and you know what you're going to get when he comes to work.
Coach, switching to another great player on the offensive side of the ball, and a guy, you know, we've got a ton of great running backs coming back in college football next year, and I think Omarion Hampton's right near the top of that list. I think I like what you said. He just plays like he's angry at the world. I think Omarion at times runs like that, and to me, he's just it feels like a first down every time you hand him the ball. And I thought he was the engine of your offense, even though you had a lot of flashy stuff around him. What makes Omarion such a special running back and such just a special football player in general?
Guys, you have to start with God-given ability. He probably runs 4.4 at 220-something pounds. And our defensive backs and linebackers do not want to tackle in practice. It's a problem. I used to say that with Ricky Williams and Cedric Benson. Those safeties will pull a hamstring when they see him coming and there's nobody in front of them. But he can fly. He's tough as nails. He practices hard every day. He's quiet. But he is going to run over. They call him Hammerhead because you better look out because he's going to run right down your throat when he sees you. But he'll pass protect. He is a wonderful person, great team guy. And the more you hand it to him, the better he likes it.
Coach, I can promise you your defensive backs are not the only ones that don't like tackling Omarion Hampton. I think there's a lot of teams that you're playing right now that are also not big fans of going against him every game.
I think that's fair.
So, moving your running game's obviously set with Omarion. Moving to the quarterback situation with Drake leaving, and you had this last time with Sam Howell leaving too. But right now, it seems like you have a battle for the quarterback spot between Max Johnson and Connor Harrell. What do you expect to see from them moving through spring ball and then into the season beyond that?
Well, I expect to see great competition. They're both first class young people. They've both played. They're both competitive. They're both athletic. Max is probably 6'5 plus and can run. Watched him in the offseason. We haven't seen him throw yet. We'll get to do that on the 19th because they can go throw, but we can't see them. And we start spring practice on March 19th. Connor got to play some over his time here, but he really did some great things in the bowl game. And we didn't help him very much. We had a couple of linemen out and moved around, so we had too much pressure on him, too many sacks. So I really think it's going to be a great battle this spring and fun to watch. They're very different, but both of them are smart. They're competitive. They play a lot of ball. Connor won 2 state championships at Thompson High School in Birmingham, and he's the valedictorian of the school and probably runs 4.4. And Max started at both LSU and Texas A&M. He's thrown 900 passes in the SEC. So his dad won a Super Bowl. So yeah. And his dad won a Super Bowl with Clyde Christensen, who is one of the guys that helps with our quarterbacks here. So I'm really excited about these guys for the spring. And people forgot Drake didn't start till 10 days before opening game. He had a battle with Jacoby Criswell, who ended up going to Arkansas. So this will be fun to have both of those guys out there this spring. And we're just going to turn them loose, let them compete. And they're going to get the same number of reps, and they'll get with both of them with the starters, and it'll be really fun to watch.
Coach, a guy that doesn't get a lot of love because of the position he plays, but we love at PFF is Willie Lampkin. A guy who came over from Coastal Carolina, was a great center at Coastal Carolina. You guys converted him to guard this past year, and he was even better at guard. What do you think makes Willie one of the best offensive linemen that college football has to offer right now?
He's tough. Willie was an undefeated wrestler in the state of Florida, won the state championship. And you take those wrestlers and throw them into that offensive, defensive line, now they will fight you. And if I had to choose a guy off this team to go in an alley with me and somebody jumped me, Willie would probably be the first one I would pick to be on my side to defend me. He fights every minute of every day in practice, and he's been fun for us. And he is – already made our offensive line tougher.
Another fun one, you got a weapon on the outside. Now we've got the running game, we got the O-line, we've got the quarterback situation. Let's get to your biggest weapon returning next year, Bryson Nesbitt. Now it seems like, Max likes to call him a pass catcher because he's kind of in between that receiver, tight end kind of size, but how valuable is having just a weapon like that, whatever you call him, to a new starting quarterback, whichever one it is coming in?
Yeah, he is exactly what you all talk about. We call him the hybrid. He can block inside. He can be a wide receiver. He can be a slot guy. He can motion. He's such a mismatch on everybody, corners, safeties, linebackers. And he was, I think, a high four-star basketball player, maybe a five-star basketball player in some cases. And he's got such length, and he can jump on top of it, and he's got great hands, not good hands. His dad played tight end for the Saints with David Thomas, who was our tight end from Texas. They were both on a Super Bowl team down there. I think his mom was a soccer player at South Carolina when dad went to school there. So he's got good genes, but he's smart. He's athletic. He's tough. He can catch. He's not worried about getting hit down the middle, which some of those guys are. But he is a special target for us. And he with tempo, he gives you an opportunity to get some mismatches because you can leave him on the field and keep him in tight and run the ball or use play action or spread him out and not give the defense a chance to match him with substitution.
Coach, I love the versatility for your offense, but I got to say, it's a nightmare for us when we're trying to rank these players for, I don't know what to call Bryson Nesmith, a tight end, wide receiver. It's a nightmare for me, but I know how versatile he is for your offense. Just a couple more questions. I really appreciate the time, but you know, college football is now in a very interesting spot. We're entering the 12-team college football playoff era. There's talks that it might even expand further past that. As someone who's been around the game for a long time, what are your feelings on the expanded playoff that we're getting into right now?
Guys, I was on a Nike trip recently, and one of the top executives said college football's never been in better shape than right now. And I think that's true. It's never been more popular. The stands are they're full. People are watching at the highest level. The kids are getting paid. We've got some things we've got to pull back in. We've got to get some guidelines. We've got to make sure the transfer portal is healthy for kids. And we've got to get this playoff thing right. But we all gripe all the time about all the things that are happening, and we're still all watching. And I think that's what makes it so popular. And it was funny, guys. Every sport had a playoff except us. Every sport, which I always sat and wondered, why doesn't college football have a playoff? High school football's got a playoff.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, junior college football's got a playoff. We don't have a playoff. Why don't we have a playoff? So now I think what we've got to do is, as we're looking at 12 or 14 or 16, number one, you got to look at the health of the players.
Mm-hmm.
Do you still play 12 games? Do you still play a championship game? And how does that affect their overall health? You got to look at your academic calendar, because now you're going to be playing at finals on one end and the start of a semester on the other end. You've got to look at what's best for the parents and the fans. Do you have a home game for the highest seed, so the parents and the families don't have to travel? And if they have to travel four times or five times, how expensive does that get? And should we pay the parents to travel because we're making more money because of this 12-team playoff? I think we should. And then you've got to look at being head-to-head with the NFL in the playoffs. You're going to have some good discussions about who plays, when we play, so we're not bumping heads and really mess it up for fans where we play both ways. So, but I think when we get into the playoffs, we need to pay the players, we need to pay the parents, and have them both getting paid for the sacrifices that they're giving, because it's a lot more games for these guys. And then we're all going to have to start looking at practicing differently, and the extended games are going to be really different for us. But and I know we're talking about who gets buy-in, who gets all that stuff to get worked out. But you just need the best teams playing at the end, like they are in the NFL, and then it stays the popular sport that it is through the playoffs.
So, Coach, in the age you've mentioned pretty much all of it, the NIL, the transfer portal, and just everything, the Wild West that college football is right now, and is that opportunity to play in an expanded playoff and win a championship, you know, obviously having more access to it than you've had before this now, that, and I'm just curious if you combine that with your other selling points at North Carolina, and what exactly might be the list of things that you sell to, whether it be incoming high schoolers or transfers, to get them to North Carolina?
Well, the biggest thing we sell is that you're going to get one of the best educations in the world, and at the same time, we have a chance to win all the games. So many academic schools can't win, and we can. We've proven that, and we've been 6-0 last year. We were 9-1 the year before. We got to finish. And we're looking at every little thing to figure out why we haven't done as well at the end of the year as we have the first. And with NIL, we're bringing in really bright kids but that want to be here because you don't want people buying them off your campus the second year now. And, the core GPA of the kids that we signed this year out of high school was a 3.44. So it's really high, and these kids are doing really well. They're excelling. Can't wait to see them get on the field. And I like the expanded playoff because it gives all of us a chance. What I'm a little concerned about, and it's something we've all got to really address, is there will be some teams that can't get to the playoff. They're just not going to be good enough. And they're not committed enough. They don't have enough money. And the expectations will still be high, but they're not going to get there if you look at history. And I want those teams to still be able to have a bowl game. I don't want the kids to be separated from it's either playoff or nothing. And then a lot of kids that go to really good schools that just can't compete at the highest level, they still have to have a place to go. So I hope we can figure out how to keep the bowl games competitive. I would love to have – I think Group of Five should play their own playoff. I like FCS. And I think that the Power Five should play and have a Heisman Trophy winner and a Lombardi winner and all the things that Butkus Award winner and a national championship. But I think Group of Five should do the same. Why do we just let the best Group of Five team play when they're probably not going to have a great chance to move up very far because of depth? Why don't we let a group of those teams play for their own national championship? I'm going to sit and watch Memphis and Tulane play for a national championship. So why do we throw them out except for one team? I don't like that. I think we should give everybody an equal chance to win their own championship.
That's very well put, Coach. Coach, I really appreciate all this time right now. It's an absolute honor speaking to you, and best of luck this upcoming season.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on again. Appreciate what you do for college football.
Of course. Thank you, Coach.
Thanks, Coach.